Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Tailgate Till May. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things, too. It's March, and how sweet it is if you're a college sports fan, because there's 16 teams left. We've reached the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, and I am going to preview each and every one of those Sweet 16 games that start tomorrow. And let's get right into this thing. Nothing else to cover today. No big picture topics. Let's just get to these games. But first, a reminder, you can follow me on social media across all platforms at Gorg on Sports. If I add any other picks, if I make any other bets between the time this post and the time the games start, I will post them on Twitter at Gorg on Sports. So make sure you're following me there. All right, that's it. Let's get into it. The East Region, Boston, Massachusetts. This is a Thursday site, and we'll start with the number one seed, UConn Huskies, against the number five seed, San Diego State Aztecs, a rematch of last year's national championship game. And it's funny, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it's quite getting the hype of a national championship rematch, and maybe that's just because UConn went on such a war path through the NCAA tournament field last year, winning six straight games by double digits, winning its first two games of this NCAA tournament by double digits. And so maybe that's why it doesn't quite feel like a national championship game rematch, because it wasn't a classic national championship or anything like that. This game's going to be 7:39 Eastern time tip. UConn between a 10.5 and 11-point favorite, depending on where you look. And the total between 135.5 points to 136.5 points. So here's the thing. UConn has looked fantastic so far. They have blown out both of their opponents. They have done everything you would expect the defending national champion, the number one overall seed, to do. When I look at this matchup, a couple numbers stand out for me. UConn has shot 69% from inside the arc during the tournament so far. San Diego State has allowed opponents to shoot just 38% from inside the arc. So that's going to be the key to the game for me. UConn's been getting to the rim at will against Northwestern. 22 of its 32 two-point field goal attempts were at the rim. They blew out Northwestern in that game. I bet Northwestern in the first half in that game, and I never stood a chance in it. I think it was plus 8.5. Never stood a chance. UConn was dominant start to finish. And when I look at this game, I just don't think San Diego State is really the kind of team that can beat UConn. Because you look at UConn this year, and you look at who they lost to, and it's really unbelievable when you go through and look at it, because it's at Kansas, at Seton Hall, and at Creighton. And in that Seton Hall game, they lost Donovan Klingon early in the second half, and that'll be enough to emotionally cripple any team when you lose a huge player like that. So I'm sure that had played some factor in that loss, but it was three true road games, and those are the only three games they lost the entire season. But when you look at those games, a common thread to me that stands out, and it's that all of these teams had excellent offensive performances, and in the case of Kansas and Creighton, they were really, really good from beyond the three-point line. So Kansas was at 1.15 points per possession. Seton Hall, 1.21. And Creighton, unreal, 1.44. Kansas goes 9 of 14 from deep in that game. Creighton goes 14 of 28 from deep in its win over UConn. And I think to beat UConn, you have to either be an outstanding offensive team or be able to put together an outstanding offensive performance, which typically will include a really great three-point shooting performance. San Diego State just doesn't have that to me. San Diego State is a team that wants to grind it out. They want to slow it down. And UConn is very comfortable playing that style of play. They'll beat you at it. They're better than you at it because they are a great defensive team and they're going to be extraordinarily efficient with their offense. So to me, San Diego State just doesn't have the recipe for beating UConn. Last year, San Diego State was in a similar spot. They upset Alabama, and that was different because Alabama is run and gun. They want to get up and down the court, and San Diego State's slow, physical, defensive style of play was kind of a shock to the system. That's not going to be a shock to the system for UConn. I don't think San Diego State can score enough points in this one. I am not betting this particular game in any way, but I am going to put a future on UConn. So on FanDuel right now, UConn is, I believe, plus 250 to win it all. I think it's plus 250, 2.5 to 1. To win the national championship. Trying to confirm that here. I had it up, then closed it out, but I'm going to confirm that number right now. Yeah, UConn here, oh, down to plus 220, so 2.2 to 1 to win the national championship. I think they deserve to be the favorite. I think they're the best team in this tournament, but just over 2 to 1 is not enough for me to bet on UConn. What I am going to do instead is I'm going to play Tristan Newton, UConn's point guard, to win Final Four Most Outstanding Player at 11 to 1. And this was an interesting bet to me because when you're looking at the options here, there is a UConn player on there ahead of Tristan Newton, which is Donovan Clingan. And he's 650, plus 650, 6.5 to 1 to win Most Outstanding Player, Final Four Most Outstanding Player. And I'm not 100% sure why, because these are the two highest usage guys on the team, but they've both had great starts to the tournament. Tristan Newton was UConn's leading scorer over the course of the season. Tristan Newton is a stat stuffer. He's a guy that scores. He puts up big assist numbers. He puts up rebound numbers. He's a good rebounder. He's the guy with the ball in his hands. And I just think those odds are not quite right. I don't think Clingan should be ahead of Newton, and I don't think he should be this far ahead of Newton. So if you're somebody who thinks that UConn is going to win the national championship like I do, and you're looking for a way to play it, then this is the one that stands out to me, and that's why I'm going to go ahead and put a little bit down on Tristan Newton, 11 to 1, to win Final Four Most Outstanding Player. I'll go with a half unit on that one. The second game in Boston on Thursday night, and it's a late tip, but it may be the best game of Thursday night. It may be the best game of the entire Sweet 16, and it's a slate full of great games. This is a fun one. It's number 2, Iowa State, versus number 3, Illinois. Iowa State, a 1.5 to 2 point favorite. The total between 145.5 and 146.5. And this one's fun simply because it's a battle of contrasting styles. Illinois, the single most efficient offense in the country. Iowa State, the single most efficient defense in the country. Illinois likes to get up and down the court. They like to run, go, go, go. They want to get out there in transition. They want to push the pace. And Iowa State does not. They want to slow it down. Now, they certainly want to turn you over, but they want to slow it down. They want it to be a defensive grind fest. They want to play a game in the 60s. Hell, maybe even the 50s. They're fine with that. It's a battle of contrasting styles, and I love when contrasting styles go head-to-head. Now, for me in this game, what stands out is that I think Illinois, coming from the Big Ten, is actually more comfortable playing an opponent like Iowa State is like Iowa State, then Iowa State is playing an opponent like Illinois. The Big Ten, chock full of teams that want to grind it out, slow it down, win with defense, win with rebounding, slow tempo. A couple teams in the conference profile similarly to Iowa State. Now, not nearly as good, especially on the offensive end, but very good defensively and very slow. And with Terrence Shannon in the lineup, and I think that's key because Terrence Shannon has been very, very good for Illinois since he was reinstated by a judge. If you're not familiar with the story, Terrence Shannon was charged with rape stemming from an incident in Lawrence, Kansas in the fall. He was suspended from the team, and then a judge ordered him to be reinstated in late January. He's been playing ever since, and he has been outstanding for Illinois. He's one of the main reasons that Illinois is still standing in this NCAA tournament. So with Shannon in the lineup against Rutgers, Maryland, and Michigan State, and they played Rutgers twice, Illinois has had games of 77, 70, 70, and 70 possessions against those teams. So they are taking those teams up to their level. They are pushing the pace, they are pushing the tempo, and they're not getting dragged down into a 60-possession game. They're taking it up to a 70-possession game. Three times, 70 possessions. And then once, 77. So I think Illinois may be more well-equipped to play their style, impose their style of play on Iowa State than Iowa State is to impose their style of play on Illinois. The other big question for me in this one is who guards Terrence Shannon. He's a unique player. He's about 6'6". He's extraordinarily fast, and he is very good. You don't see a lot of wings like that out there. There aren't a ton of wings like that in the Big 12. I don't think Iowa State has seen a player quite like Terrence Shannon this year. And when you look at Iowa State's roster, their guards, Taman Lipsey is 6'1", Keyshawn Gilbert, 6'4", Milan Momchilovic, one of their wings, 6'8", so he has the size, but I don't think quite the athleticism. And then Trey King, their 4, is 6'7", but he's not a guy with the athleticism to stay with Terrence Shannon. He's a guy who's trying to battle it out down low. So I'm not quite sure who on that team can guard Terrence Shannon, and there's not many players in the country who can guard Terrence Shannon, but I'm not sure if Iowa State is going to have an answer there. I think for Iowa State to win this game, they're going to have to keep the ball out of his hands. They're very good at forcing turnovers, and I think they are going to have to force turnovers and keep the ball out of Terrence Shannon's hands. I think they're going to have to also keep Illinois out of transition. They're going to have to play a half-court game. I don't have a bet in this game. I'm not making one. I could see it go either way, so I'm just going to stay away. You know, you don't have to bet every game, and this is one that I am just going to stay away from, but it is going to be one of the most interesting games to watch of Thursday night, if not the whole Sweet 16. Let's move on to our next region, also a Thursday region. It's the bottom left part of your bracket here, the West region. That'll take place in LA, and the game I want to start with is actually the second game of the night. It's number 1, North Carolina versus number 4, Alabama. That's a 9:39 Eastern time tip. North Carolina is between a 3.5 and 4-point favorite, depending where you look and what odds you want to get it at. The total, the highest total of all 8 games, 173.5 points. And I'll get right to it here. I'm going North Carolina minus 4 in this game. And I feel really good about it. This is my favorite bet of the slate. I love North Carolina to roll in this one. The only thing, and I'll tell you just why I'm going to do it in a second, why I feel so good about it. The only thing scaring me off from it is the fact that everybody else seems to love it too. I was looking at Action Network earlier today, and something like 90% of the tickets are on North Carolina. That scares me a little bit. It shouldn't because I did my homework on this game. I watched these teams. I've crunched the numbers. But look, any time that there's a team that everybody loves, it's going to scare me a little bit. But that's neither here nor there. Let me tell you why I like North Carolina -4. The biggest thing for me is the fact that North Carolina has Armando Bacot inside. Big men have been an issue for Alabama this season, and there's a few good ones in the SEC. Tolu Smith of Mississippi State had 23 points, 5 rebounds, and 15 and 10 against Alabama in his two games against them. Tyrese Samuel of Florida had 14, 19, and 18 points against the Tide. And Jonai Broom had 24 points and 25 points for Auburn against Alabama. They have struggled with bigs, and Armando Bacot, to me, is one of the best big men in the country. And that's the thing that's so great about North Carolina, is they have so many different options. If you take away RJ Davis, Armando Bacot can beat you. If you take away Armando Bacot, RJ Davis can beat you. But it's not just those two guys. The rest of the team has really come to play in the tournament as well. Against Michigan State, they had some really nice scoring distribution with Cormac Ryan putting up 14 points, Harrison Ingram scoring 17 points to go along with 20 from Davis and 18 from Bacot. I just like how many options they have. But back to Armando Bacot, it's not just the scoring that I think is going to be a problem for Alabama, not just that inside scoring. Alabama gets a lot of shots blocked, and they aren't a great offensive rebounding team. Armando Bacot is a fantastic rebounder. Armando Bacot is a very good shot blocker. I think he is going to cause a massive problem for Alabama on both ends of the court in this one. The other thing for Alabama, and this isn't Carolina specific, is that they are not a good defensive team. North Carolina is a good defensive team. Look, they'll both get up and down the court. I think Alabama's one saving grace in this one is maybe they can just out-tempo North Carolina, because Carolina's going to play that tempo with them. Carolina likes to run too, and maybe, just maybe, they can outrun Carolina, but I don't see it. I think there's too much going Carolina's way here. They're the better defensive team. I like the matchup with Armando Bacot inside. I like how many options they have on this team. I pick Carolina to go to the Final Four. I think they're a Final Four team still, and I think they are going to roll in this one over the Tide. Then the early game on the West Coast on Thursday is the number 2 seed Arizona versus the number 6 seed Clemson. That's a 7:09 tip. That is the first game of Thursday night. Arizona, a 6.5 to 7.5 point favorite in this one. A total of 151.5 to 152.5, depending where you look. I want to take Clemson in this game. I'm trying to find a way to take Clemson in this game because I haven't trusted Arizona all season long. Every time you think, okay, this Arizona team is pretty good, maybe they can go to a Final Four, maybe they can win a national championship, they lay an egg. And I want to find a way to take Clemson, but I just can't. So I am staying away from this one. One stat that I did see on this game that I thought was very interesting and I wanted to call out is that Arizona is 0-5 when 3 or fewer players score in double figures. So I wanted to go back and look at some of those games. And what stood out to me is in a couple of those games, and one in particular stands out, it's the road loss to Washington State, is that Caleb Love, a great transfer pickup from them, a guy who's been fantastic for Arizona all season long, one of the leaders of their team, and he's eyeing a potential rematch with his former team, or not a rematch, a date with his former team, North Carolina, in the Elite Eight. Caleb Love, in Arizona's 73-70 loss to Washington State, took 25 shots. That was nearly 35% of the total shots that Arizona took in that game. So it seems like if you can find a way to make Caleb Love feel like he has to score all by himself and not distribute the ball and not get everybody involved, that could be a recipe for beating Arizona at some point. Arizona, to me, they're just so unpredictable. You look at those first two games and you want to feel great about them. You do. It's hard not to, because I thought they were very good after their slow start against Long Beach. I thought they looked very good. In that second round game against Dayton, I thought they looked very good. But every time you feel good about them, they have put up a clunker at some point this season. So I want to find a way to pick Clemson. I think there's a lot to like about this Clemson team. I like the way you talk about even distribution. I like the options that Clemson has. Of course, PJ Hall is one of their go-to guys inside, but Ian Shefflin has played really well inside for them. Joe Girard and Chase Hunter are great in the backcourt. They have a lot of options. At 6.5 points, 7.5 points, it's tempting to take Clemson, but I am just going to stay away from this one to kick off Thursday night. Let's move on to Friday and the other side of the bracket, and we'll head to Dallas for the South Regional. Number 1 seed Houston will take on number 4 seed Duke. That's a 9:39 p.m. Eastern time tip. Houston between a 4 and 4.5 point favorite. The total, the lowest of the weekend, or the week, I guess, 133.5 to 134.5. And in this one, I am riding with the Houston Cougars -4. Last year's NCAA tournament loss to Tennessee for Duke will forever be burned into my head. It's the game where Kyle Filipowski got hit in the face and was bloody. And that was a metaphor, because it felt like Tennessee just beat and battered Duke all game long in that one. Last year, I was really high on Duke coming into the tournament. They looked great in the ACC tournament. Their offense had started to hum. I thought they were going to go to the Final Four. I think I might have even had a bet on them to go to the Final Four. And Tennessee absolutely said, hey, we're a bunch of men. You are a bunch of boys, and we're going to treat you as such. Tennessee was the far more physical team in that game, and it very much showed. Duke turned the ball over 15 times in that game. Tennessee grabbed 12 offensive rebounds, and they held Duke to just 0.85 points per possession. Now, Houston is all about physicality. That is what this team is absolutely all about, and I think that is going to happen again to Duke in this Sweet 16 game. Now, on the Houston side, Houston kind of has a question like that, too. If Duke's question is, can they handle a physical game? Houston's question is, can they make shots from behind the arc when it matters most? Much like I have that Tennessee loss burned in my head when I think about Duke, I have Houston's poor three-point shooting performances burned in my head when I think about the Houston Cougars, and those have come in the past several NCAA tournaments. I'm somebody who's backed Houston a lot over the years. I've watched a lot of Houston. I really enjoy Houston. I know that can be a controversial take for some, but I really do enjoy the way that they play, their aggressive style on defense. I like it. I like them a lot. I enjoy them. I love Jamal Shedd. I think he's great. But can they hit shots from beyond the arc when it matters most? Well, I think against Texas A&M, they answered that question a little bit, because they needed every last one of those 100 points that they scored as they blew that lead at the end of regulation. And I think it's huge for them going forward that Emmanuel Sharpe went 7 of 14 from beyond the arc, that he was able to put up 30 points in that game, that Jamal Shedd didn't shoot the greatest percentage from outside, or I'm sorry, LJ Cryer didn't shoot the greatest percentage from outside. He goes 3 of 10 in that game, but he did put up 20 points. I think it's huge from a confidence perspective that they were able to find a way to win that game. Duh, you got to win the game or you're not moving on. But it was a game that in the past, I think they don't have Emmanuel Sharpe to kind of bail them out with that. Bailout is the wrong word, but to help them advance with a 30-point game. by making 7 threes. Now they have that, and I think that should give them a lot of confidence going forward. I like Houston in this one. Give me the Cougars, -4. That will be for a unit. The North Carolina bet will also be to win one unit. Both those to win one unit. The Tristan Newton MVP bet, or most outstanding player bet, is going to be, I'm going to risk a half unit on that one. Moving on to the next game in that region, it's number 2 Marquette versus number 11 NC State. That'll be the first game of the entire Friday slate. 7:09 Eastern time tip, a rematch of the 1974 national championship game between these two teams. Marquette, a 6.5-point favorite, the total 150.5. NC State is one of my favorite stories of this entire tournament. I love how they won 5 straight games to get in here. I love how they've played in these first 2 rounds. They had a game, they had an all-time game against Oakland where it's like they just are not going to win this game. Lo and behold, they did. DJ Burns is one of my favorite players in the entire country. I talked about it on the show earlier this week. He is a huge individual and he is a great passer. I love big men who are great passers, and they have leaned on him a ton in this NCAA tournament run, but also in the ACC tournament run. He's been averaging 16.5 points per game over the course of the postseason. My biggest question for Marquette coming into this tournament was, is Tyler Kolek completely healthy? He had missed a bunch of games, including the entire Big East tournament, and he has looked very good since coming back from that injury. At the start of the NCAA tournament in 2 tournament games, he's averaged 19.5 points, 11 assists. And Marquette had a challenge. They had a test against Colorado. They did, and they came up with big buckets when they needed to. Kolek was making plays when they needed to. And Marquette feels to me like every bit the team they were before the Tyler Kolek injury. They feel like a team that I thought could give UConn a run. They feel like the team I picked to win the Big East, that I bet on to win the Big East regular season title before the season began. And it feels like everything is back on track with the Marquette Golden Eagles. I don't see why it wouldn't be. But this is going to be a challenging matchup. Now, there's nobody that can quite replicate DJ Burns. But in that matchup against Colorado, Marquette squared off against Eddie Lampkin, who is about as similar body type-wise as you can get to DJ Burns. So let's see. DJ Burns, listed at 6'9", 275. Eddie Lampkin, what's Eddie Lampkin listed at? Eddie Lampkin is listed at 6'11", 265. So a little bit taller, not quite as big weight-wise, but they are fairly comparable body type-wise. And what they did really well against Colorado, I thought they got Eddie Lampkin in some pick-and-roll situations, and they made it difficult for him, and they took advantage of that. Now, Lampkin, he put up some good numbers offensively in that game, but I thought they did a good job of getting him into a pick-and-roll in pick-and-roll situations. Now, NC State is pretty good at defending the pick-and-roll. I don't know how this one is going to go. I love Marquette. I've loved Marquette all season long. I think they are a team that, you know, was coming into its own at the end of the season. I was scared that the Kolek injury was going to derail them. They lost a couple games. They lost, you know, good teams back-to-back, Creighton and UConn, at the end of the season. They lost to UConn, of course, in the Big East championship game. But Tyler Kolek is now back, and I feel like they are very much back on track. How much longer can NC State keep this going? You know, I think they're playing extraordinarily well. I think they need more from DJ Horn. That's the one thing that I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about NC State and what else they can possibly get in this tournament run. I think they need to get a little bit more from DJ Horn, who is one of their guards. And I think he can kind of be a guy who's an X factor for them if they want to pull this upset against Marquette. Ultimately, I'm not going to bet this game, but when I think about it, you know, Marquette's a 6.5-point favorite. I think they do win the game. And I think a big part of that is they have the best guard on the court. They have the best player on the court in Tyler Kolek. And in a lot of these games, what it's going to come down to for me is guard play. You have a guard the caliber of Tyler Kolek, it's going to be hard for me to pick against you. I just thought that Colorado game, Tyler Kolek really impressed me. Every time it got close, every time they needed a bucket, he made something happen, whether it was scoring himself or making a play and getting it to somebody for a bucket. Tyler Kolek makes this team go. He's back. He seems healthy. He seems 100%. I can't go against Tyler Kolek in this one. Sometimes, though, the line is just right. I don't see a ton of value in this one, so I'm going to stay away from it. Our last regional on Friday is the Midwest region in Detroit, Michigan. The number one seed, Purdue Boilermakers, against the number five, Gonzaga Bulldogs, Gonzaga, in its ninth straight Sweet 16, an unreal stat. That game is a 7:39 p.m. Eastern time tip. Purdue, a 5 to 5.5-point favorite. The total, 154.5. I got some thoughts about this game and who is going to win, but I'm not going to bet the spread. I'm not going to bet a money line. I am going to bet the over in this one, 154.5. Now, this one is actually a rematch of a game that was played way earlier this season. Seems like a lifetime ago back in Maui. These two teams played, and in that one, it was a 73-possession game. It was a very high possession affair. Gonzaga, of course, a team that does like to play fast, does like to get out and run. And that was the case in Maui earlier this season as Purdue took down Gonzaga 73-63. So that game finished at 136 points, significantly below this total of 154.5, but it was 70 possessions. And when I dive a little deeper into that game, a couple of the things that I notice are that there were not many free throws shot by Purdue in that game. That's one of Purdue's bread and butter things about their offense, right? They are great at getting to the free throw line. Zach Edey in particular is great at getting to the free throw line. They only shot 16 free throws in that game. That's less than I would expect them to. Gonzaga very good at keeping teams off the free throw line. So I think some of this with this over might depend on how it's officiated. A lot of people think about Purdue and they think like, okay, it's a slow plodding Big Ten team with a 7'4" guy as its centerpiece. But Purdue doesn't have a problem playing up tempo when they need to. I mean, look no further than the second round game against Utah State, a team that likes to get up and down the court a little bit. And Purdue was happy to oblige. Purdue scores 106 points in that game. Purdue is also a very good outside shooting team. They have the best three-point shooting percentage of anybody in the country. Now, that's not what they do a ton, but when you have Zach Edey inside, he's going to get a lot of doubles, and he's going to get a lot of kickouts to open shooters. They shoot almost 41% from beyond the arc. So for all of those factors, I like this one to go over. I think it's a high-scoring game. I think Gonzaga wants to get up and down the court. I think Purdue obliges. I think Gonzaga gets to the free throw line a little bit more than they did the first time around. I think they also, both teams shoot better from beyond the arc. In that first meeting, they were dreadful from beyond the arc. Purdue, just 4 of 17 from the three-point line. Gonzaga, 6 of 32. That's good for 19%. Purdue, good for 23.5%. I think both teams shoot better from beyond the arc in this one, and I like it to go over. Now, this is interesting to me from a who's going to win, who's going to lose perspective, because maybe Gonzaga can give Purdue a challenge. One of the things that Gonzaga did a lot against Kansas was they got Hunter Dickinson in pick and roll situations, and it didn't work out so well for the Jayhawks. No, Zach Edey, I think, is more nimble than many people expect who don't watch him play a ton for a guy who's 7'4", but he is still 7'4". It's not like he's Victor Wembanyama. Nobody can be like Victor Wembanyama. So, you know, that's something that I'm interested in watching in this game is how does Purdue handle that when Gonzaga goes to the pick and roll? I don't have a bet as far as the spread or the money line goes, but I'm very excited to watch this one. I think it's going to be a fun one. 7:39 Eastern time tip. Give me the over in this one, over 154.5. And then the last game on our slate here, this will be a 10:09 p.m. Eastern time tip. The number 2 seed, the Tennessee Volunteers, first the number 3, Creighton Blue Jays, Tennessee, between a 2.5 to 3-point favorite in this one. The total, 143.5. This one, it might sound simple, but it kind of comes down to two things for me. Can Creighton guard Dalton Knecht, and can they hit enough threes to win this game? Creighton kind of goes as the 3-point shot goes, right? That's how they're built. That's what they do. They shoot a ton of threes, and if they make a ton of threes, they're almost unstoppable. They're number 7 in the country as far as their 3-point rate goes. Almost 49% of their total field goal attempts are threes. They are going to put them up, and if they are falling, they are hard to beat. See beating UConn 85-66 in late February. But when they're not falling, see the Big East tournament against Providence, where they went 6 of 26 from beyond the arc, then it's a little bit of a problem. Now, Tennessee is coming off. It was a clunker. It was a clunker against Tennessee. But it's a tournament. It's tournament time. Survive in advance. That's exactly what Tennessee did. They found a way to win. Dalton Knecht was not very efficient in that game, despite putting up 18 points. He was 5 of 18 from the field in that one. Tennessee as a team shot 3 of 25 from beyond the arc. And if Tennessee shoots 3 of 25 from beyond the arc again, they are not going to win a game against Creighton. It's the math just doesn't math in that situation. So those are the two big questions for me in this game. I don't know who on Creighton can really guard Dalton Knecht. I think Tennessee has a distinct advantage there. Tennessee also a very good team at defending the 3-point line. They're 29th in the country this year in defensive 3-point percentage. They're holding teams to just under 31% from beyond the arc. So it's going to be an interesting matchup there. My gut, I'm not betting this. This will not go on my sheet, especially because I already have a Tennessee 17-1 future to win the national championship. So I'm kind of just going to let that one ride. But I think Tennessee does have the advantage here. But if Creighton makes 13, 14 three-pointers, which is completely reasonable for a team that shoots the three ball like Creighton does, for a team that puts it up at the rate that they do, for a team that has as many guys that can shoot the three as they do, they put up 13, 14 three-pointers, and Tennessee cannot do what they did against Texas from beyond the arc. I tend to think that there's going to be a little bit of regression there for Tennessee, where positive regression, where they are able to make some more shots. I think Dalton Knecht is the best scorer on the floor. It'll be interesting to see how they take advantage, Creighton, how they take advantage of him defensively, because you talk to people, analysts, even, you know, Tennessee. I heard a Tennessee assistant coach the other day say that defense is something they've had to work really hard on with Dalton Knecht, and he's improved a lot. You talk to analysts, and they'll say he's still not that great defensively. And it's going to be interesting to see how Creighton tries to take advantage of that. This should be a fun one. I have that Tennessee 17-1 bet to win the title, so I'm just going to roll with that one and leave this one alone. But I will be watching intently because I think it's going to be intriguing matchup, and I'm interested to see how both teams play it. Enjoy the Sweet 16 games this week, everybody, and make sure you follow me on Twitter at Gorgon Sports. If I add anything to my card, I will be posting it there ahead of the Sweet 16 games. I'll also be posting my Elite 8 picks there as well, so make sure you follow me on Twitter at GorgonSports. Enjoy these Sweet 16 games, and until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.